This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, April 17, 2014, Holy Thursday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
This day shall be for you a memorial day. You shall observe it for an ordinance forever. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whose words from Exodus come at the institution of the Passover meal. The Passover meal that the Holy Spirit, speaking through the writer of Exodus, tells us will last forever. And step back and go, well, is that one of the places where the Bible really doesn't mean what it says? Because we're the people of God. We read in Galatians chapter 6 that the true Israel of God is the church. And did the church eat the Passover meal? You know, these people that, well, they don't still eat the Passover meal, so it wasn't forever. And then he starts to hear about talk about the New Testament like it's something different. It is not. The meal is forever. Those words are from the institution of the Passover, which was a foreshadow or a figure of what we really glorify tonight, the forever institution of the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Take into consideration historically where Israel was. You know, you look at the poor sheep back in those days, particularly if you were kind of a nice sheep. Lambs were slaughtered constantly. You do this sin, you do that, you kill these many lambs, this many lambs. These poor lambs, man, they were just getting marched up to the temple and killed right and left. I mean, that was just the way things were done back in those. Just like you go to church, you march to the temple with a lamb every now and then, or lambs, depending on what you'd done. They even had other rituals where there was a paschal lamb, or a scapegoat, as we say, where we get that term, where the sheep was brought out, and the high priest killed one of them and laid his hands on the other, and the multitudes of the sins of the people were placed on that goat's head, and he ran out into the wilderness, saying that the sins are now far from the people. This, hence the term scapegoat. But that Paschal lamb also, particularly in the context of the Exodus presentation that we had, is the lamb being a symbol of the redemption of the people of Israel at the first Passover. And it is indeed an ordinance forever. Our Lord Jesus Christ celebrating the Passover, as he was, because it was a perpetual ordinance, our Lord Jesus Christ celebrating the Passover ensures its perpetuity. It's not about whether people will eat this and how they will eat it, as it went through Exodus before. You know, you got to eat it fast. It actually goes into much more detail, kind of gory detail, about how the parts of it you will eat and how you will eat it and how you will get off. It just goes on and on. But our Lord Jesus Christ ensures the perpetuity because out of all the sacrifices that were made of lambs, sheep, and goats, and ox, and turtle doves, and all the other stuff that you read about in the Old Testament, came to fulfillment in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. When he institutes the Blessed Sacrament of the altar, he ensures its perpetuity because the sacrifice was once for all. He is the eternal God-man. Hence, his sacrifice is eternal. It can never go away. And it's an eternal thing that we continue to represent at every altar, on every, except one day, little footnote for you all, Good Friday, tomorrow, there will not be one Eucharist celebrated on the face of this planet. Nowhere. The communion that you will receive tomorrow will be received from consecrated hosts from today. There is not a Eucharist said, not one anywhere, not in St. Peter's. Pope doesn't celebrate Mass. It doesn't happen. It's one day because of the absence of our Lord Jesus Christ when the church takes a step back. A sadness if you really dwell on it. Our Lord Jesus Christ ensures the perpetuity because he is the Lamb who silently allowed himself to be led to the slaughter, who bears the sins of the multitude, just like the scapegoat did. He is, at the same time, the Paschal Lamb, the symbol of Israel's redemption. The blood that they had to put on doorposts is the blood that you take within yourselves. The true body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. When he comes down to be baptized at the River Jordan, what does the St. John the Baptist looks at him and says what? We hear it at every Mass. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him that taketh away the sins of the world. When they killed sheep in the Old Testament, it took away the sins of that particular person. And just very, very temporarily. St. John the Baptist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him that taketh away the sins of the world. And his sacrifice is perpetual. It does not have to be repeated. It was once for all. Now this idea of this continuation of something that was a figure in the past and progresses into something better and more, that's what we mean by New Testament. We do not mean something different. Sort of like the new and improved that you get on products in the store. It's the same product, there's just something better about it. There's something better, much better, that's a gross understatement, of Christ's sacrifice than the old. I mean, you look at nature. If you look, for those of you who are into gardening and everything, you look at a bud of a plant. Yeah, it's a bud. But what is it going to become? It's going to become a flower. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be beautiful. A babe in the womb. You know, you look at a pregnant woman, and yeah, everybody knows there's a baby in there, but it's an apples and oranges difference when it's born. Same thing, same person, just new and improved. We're all getting more and more new and improved. It's in a spiritual, even more glorious than, you know, those little natural analogies that we have. Christ is himself representing the ultimate sacrifice for us, the once-for-all sacrifice. And every time that we come together, and this is what's so glorious about this day when we celebrate the institution of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, you never want to lose sight. We hear a lot about, do this in memory of me. Do this in memory of me. We hear the word memory, and we automatically kind of click over to a cognitive recollection of a past event. That is not the word that was used in the original languages. The original language that the scriptures were written in was Greek, and the word is anamnesis, and it's a representation of the sacrifice. We never want to lose sight of the fact, and unfortunately, in our day and age, there's people that can't really, they don't come to grips well with this idea of sacrifice because, you know, the church is always trying to balance itself. And there were times in the past when the sacrificial part of it kind of really overshadowed the communion part of it. Unfortunately, the pendulum swung and now we kind of emphasize a little bit too much the communion and the meal part of it and we've lost sight of the fact that it's a sacrifice. I would submit to you that first and foremost, it is a sacrifice. Listen to the words of institution itself. When Christ institutes the sacrament, he's sitting there, he said, this is my body which will be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in anamnesis of me. Represent this about me. And he's talking about a sacrifice. That's the subject. He doesn't say, hey, we're here all at this really cool meal together and we're all being friends. Remember that. No. That's not what he meant. It's the sacrifice. That's his emphasis. That should be our emphasis. Because if you really look at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, there's really two things that go on. By way of the consecration, when the words of the canon are spoken, and bread and wine no longer exist, it looks like bread and wine, but it is not in any way, shape, or form bread and wine, except for the way, its appearance, its accidents, to use a philosophical term. When it's confected, the bread and wine, through the act of what St. Thomas Aquinas referred to as transubstantiation, because you've got to put a human term on something you really can't explain. That's why that term is used. When that occurs, bread and wine no longer exist. It's the body, blood, soul, and divinity. The sacrament has been confected. The sacrament has been confected. The sacrament, which is the food for our souls, that which supports us and preserves us in our spiritual life, this strengthens us to continue day to day in the spiritual life. That's the sacramental part of it. The sacrificial part of it is much more powerful, and it is much more deep, and it is much more efficacious for us. Because the sacrifice, again, the perpetual sacrifice, is when our sins are expiated by God. When you come in here, and this is not to discount the sacrament of reconciliation, not at all. But for venial sins, the Mass in and of itself expiates those sins. This holy sacrifice of the Mass does the same thing that the Old Testament sacrifices did, but that exponentially greater fact, being that the Son of God himself did it, was that our Heavenly Father's wrath is changed to mercy. Not because we deserve it. Not because we deserve it. Because he looks down when we pray and the host is elevated. He looks down and he doesn't hear the prayers because Father Doc says it or because, you know, you're all real pious people and you say it. He looks down and he sees the representation of his Son hanging and writhing on that cross. And that turns his wrath away from us. That's why it's so important to never lose sight of the first and foremost element of this, and that's the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Again, I want everybody to understand that there's two parts of it. And the one part kind of overshadows the other. When I bring the sacrament, or a Eucharistic minister brings a sacrament to a sick person, that's the sacrament, okay? It's perfected by consecration. It is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. It is administered. It supports them. It preserves them in their spiritual life. It is food for their souls. It nourishes them. It's not expiatory, to use a theological term. It doesn't do anything about God's wrath. It feeds you. It strengthens you. But that's only the sacrament. The only place you get the sacrifice is when you are before the altar and the sacrifice of the Mass is offered to the Father. When it is represented by men who are in the apostolic succession, it's a sacrifice. It's not only merit, but oblation and satisfaction. So if you're sick and you get the sacrament on your hospital bed or at home on a visitation, you receive the Savior, body, blood, soul, and divinity. But when you sit in here, you receive... We offer the oblation of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive satisfaction for your sins. Again, not because you deserve it, because of what he did for us. Communion for the sick is a sacrament. The Mass is the sacrament and sacrifice. That's why we should endeavor so much to be here as much as we possibly can, because we are with him. We are in his presence. I cannot emphasize enough, because I don't really get it, how the barriers of time and space fall aside. And when God looks down, we are gathered around Calvary. And all the saints who are in heaven now look down at the same time. And we're all at Calvary together. Saints past, present, and to come. If you can appreciate that, that's what's going on tonight. That, even the words of the canon change on this night to emphasize the fact of the institution. That every time you come to Mass, that's what happens. Your sins are expiated. They are done away. Expiation means done away with. God's anger is propitiated. That means he turns his face away from what you have done, not because you deserve it, but because of what his Son has done for us. So when you hear those words, this is my body, this is my blood, kind of have a renewed sense of what's going on there and appreciate so much what he has done for us, not only by the cross, but by this institution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.